views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, we are going to have a really, really fun show. My guest is Dr. Pat Basile, and we're going to do a role reversal today, where after I introduce Dr. Pat, she is actually going to interview me, which I'm so excited about. So, it's going to be fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally going to be fun.
So, Dr. Pat is a leader in the field of human potential and the creator of the Transformation Network and the Positive Mojo Movement. She is an international award-winning talk radio host, author, keynote speaker, certified career and belief coach. As a top host of the internationally acclaimed The Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, the show reaches millions of people each year and is broadcast with a powerful, life-changing message. In 2010, Dr. Pat launched Transformation Talk Radio, a network to set the standard for a new mainstream talk radio platform featuring over 30 hosts. Dr. Pat has created a groundbreaking media coaching and radio mentoring program to support others that desire to create a powerful radio presence. With many other amazing projects on the horizon, as always, her vision for creating positive messages in the world is only growing larger. Dr. Pat, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, my God. It's so great to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I'm excited to talk about this today for a lot of reasons. We are looking at now in 2018, more dialogue about culture, whether it's organizational culture, whether it's community culture, whether it's business culture, whether it is government cultures, whether it's simply an energy of culture. There are more conversations about this than I ever remember being an organizational consultant. What do you make of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. I agree with you. I mean, it used to be that culture was something that, I've been a consultant for almost 20 years, and organizations, and it used to be that you just weren't supposed to talk about it. You know, we can't really talk about culture because leaders just aren't, you know, they're just going to think it's too fuzzy and it's not something we should bring up if we want to be effective. And now I think people have begun to realize how incredibly important it is. And I think that follows on some really interesting research that's happened in the past decade or so about things like trust, which I know is an area you've researched extensively. Yeah. You know, people starting to talk about, we should be respectful. We should have psychological safety. We should really think about the fact that our employees are disengaged and that's impacting our bottom line. So I feel like it's the culmination of so many of those, I think, realizations, awarenesses, and movements toward what work really can be, that it's more than going in and getting a paycheck.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about defining culture for a moment. You know, back in the day, we used to talk about culture as if it had three eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And wasn't attached to anything meaningful in organizations. And, you know, then all of a sudden what happens is we're now starting to have issues like, for example, the Forbes article that came out this year talked about how company culture needs to be part of the 2018 budget. Like, what? You mean people are going to actually pay to find out what this is about? Now, I got to tell you, Don't you think that that is a landmark shift in the way we're looking at culture?
It is an absolute landmark shift in the way we're looking at culture. And I think it is, it's interesting. It's a landmark shift. And at the same time, there are so many companies for whom it's not even on the radar screen. And so it's really, there's a really interesting spectrum out there, right? There are people like the Forbes article, there are the Googles of the world, right? All these companies that are talking about culture and really doing something about it that's productive and positive in their organizations. And they've created, you know, budgets for it and they've invested in it. And the trend I've been noticing in my own business is I can think of two or three examples of this happening where I'm talking to a client or prospective client, and part of their culture is to talk about their culture, right? And that there are people who focus on their culture and don't really talk about it, and there are people that talk about their culture actually as part of it. You know, we have a great culture. We talk about it. We pay attention to it.
Yeah.
And which is wonderful, except I was really fascinated to discover in a couple of cases that those folks actually didn't know what culture was. So when you ask them, they're like, well, culture is morale. Well, no, culture, a great culture creates great morale and impacts it, but that's not what culture actually is. So it's been really interesting because I actually had an assumption that if an organization talked so actively about their culture and invested in it, that they knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And realizing, no, that of course some companies do, but that some companies, they don't. It's more of an old school definition of it, morale, things like that. So when I talk about culture, I'm really talking about, you know, what are the mindsets that are driving behaviors? What are the behaviors that are driving systems and structures? And even though that can sound kind of academic, when I work with companies and I take them through a process and they start to see, they're like, oh, wow, I can now see, like on paper and in real life, how our mindsets driving our behavior in this area.
Yeah.
And because of our behaviors, we have a really inefficient production process.
Yeah. What I love about this, and this is your work, you know, what I love about what you're doing is that we can now really, and you in particular, have the vision to start to talk about culture in a very specific way. Cultural brilliance, brilliant cultures. Not only did you talk about it, but you defined it. Because you see, don't you think, Claudette, up to a point, we talk about organizational excellence, you know, we talk about performance, we talk about metrics, but we don't really talk about what the core essence of culture is. We talk about it as if it is this thing, and what we're talking about is a collection of employees, right?
Yeah, it's a collection of employees. It's a collection of beliefs. It's a collection of a whole bunch of unconscious assumptions that operate all day long that nobody knows about. So it's a collective, and it's not, you know, this pot thing like we put off into the corner like a chair, you know, and occasionally we dust it off and do something with it, which is what culture really used to be looked at, you know, and still is somewhat. And culture also is not your social calendar for your company. And while the social calendar for the company is wonderful to engage people, to create positivity and optimism and relationships, it's really important and great, that is not your culture per se. And often it gets defined that way. Well, we have regular social events. I'm like, that's amazing. That's great. And what's really going on deep in your culture, right? Where are things working? Where are things bottlenecking? How's your communication? How's your trust, right? That's really where culture lives. And everything else is a manifestation of it. And this piece around, like you started to mention brilliance, right? And cultural brilliance. And when I look at culture and most organizations, there is so much untapped brilliance, like in individual people, in the collective, you know, of all the people, you know, the collective of the organization. And the brilliance can be, they mentioned the positivity, the potential of individual people, right? What the organization could actually be versus what it is right now. And so you see this, you know, I'm working on a pretty intense project right now, a culture change project. And what I look for is these little moments where someone who maybe has been doing the same job, for a really long time, actually starts to talk about it differently. Or the person who never speaks up in a meeting makes a great comment.
Mm-hmm.
And you start, when you look in those people's eyes and you start to see them actually come to life and their eyes are bright. because now there's a possibility that they could do and be more. And to me, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it is. And you know what I love about this is, you know, I want to take a walk with you here, not just down memory lane, but down the future. You know, this article that came out by Forbes, I think I mentioned it.
Yeah.
It was based on research that you and I know because we've done this research before. But, you know, here we are. It's, you know, we've got the, you know, Duke University puts this out, surveyed CEOs and CFOs. I can't wait. So, okay, sidebar. I can't wait for the day where we do not ask CEOs and CFOs about their culture and we ask employees.
That's number one.
All right. But now, like, they asked the 1,400 organizations the importance of culture and business. So out of this bunch, 92% that improving culture would increase their organization's value. But really? Do they really want to do that? Or do they want to increase their organization's revenue?
It's a really interesting question. And I think it's a combination. Revenue matters, right? I mean, so we know that. And then at the same time, I think some organizations do want to go into a deep dive and really, really shift their culture because if they catch the culture bug, so to speak, right, they get how important it is. And as they start to understand how it's actually every day shaping a lot of what's happening, they see its impact and potential. And then there's some organizations I've spoken to, when they start to understand what will actually happen, like, we're going to have to tell the truth about how your culture operates now. And this could, you know, the parts that aren't so good, all the whole smorgasbord. And that for a while, it'll may get messy or a little uncomfortable the way change does, right? Some of those people back off of wanting to change much. Mm. They were just looking for the quick, you know, do you have a quick fix? Well, no, I don't, because that's just not, we can't move, culture is a system, right? And like any other system, and we can't move it quickly. It doesn't need to take years and years and years, but everyone needs some time to adjust and figure out what needs to happen and make change. And it's a very human endeavor. Yeah. So
yeah,
I think it's a combination. Yeah.
Oh my God. It is a combination, but here it is. You and I, so like we're outside consultants now, right? Mm-hmm. But we've been part of organizations. And as part of organizations, we can refer to ourselves as, yeah, like we work for companies and have firsthand information on cultures. And so what I want to ask you about when we come back is, what is it that the day and age we live in today, you know, what does an organization have to be most mindful of in preparing a culture that is dynamic and that can handle not only an upcoming workforce, but I will tell you that the latest information that came out on the Zers is akin and almost identical to the boomers. So what does a culture need to understand and value about employees so that they don't fall into the one-size-fits-all trap? Can't wait till Claudette talks about this. I'm eager to hear what she has to say.
I am too. So we'll go to a break. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. And when we come back, I will answer that question. Stay tuned.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
Tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi.
Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered. With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
I think we're back.
We are back. For those of you just joining us, this is Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and my guest today is Dr. Pat Basile, and we've done a role reversal where she is interviewing me, which I am having so much fun with already, Pat. Just great to be able to answer your questions about all these fun topics.
Well, I have to tell you, people may not know this, Claudette, so let's just give them a sneak peek. I've had the honor and the privilege of working with you maybe 2 years, but when Cultural Brilliance was an idea, and I've watched what you have done to bring this message forward. And I was saying before we started the show that what you've been able to do in a relatively short period of time, including being accepted at a major international conference to talk about cultural brilliance, it takes most people a 5-year cycle. And so that's what happens when you're passionate and purposeful about your work. And that's what you're doing. So today's show, to talk about, you know, the Brilliance Manifesto and why cultural brilliance is the new narrative for culture, not only to improve the employee morale, but to improve their bottom line. So I wanted to just congratulate you for that.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's been a really inspiring, and at our work has been so much a part of, right, where cultural brilliance is right now. But such an inspiring, you know, opportunity to really pull together so many of my own ideas in service of, you know, my vision of a better world and better organizations, which is really what this is all about, you know, is what's possible.
I want to ask you this. I was talking to you two things, and I'm going to get real focused about the one. Okay. I was talking to you about, you know, what culture means in 2018. And let's start this. One of the things that everybody is talking about now is you got to revise your company vision. But let's talk about that. It's not just about revising a company vision because, I mean, everybody's like, oh, you know, snooze alert.
Right.
Right? How many of those, we're going to do our vision, we're bringing in a consultant.
And our mission, yeah, yay. Oh, right.
That's not the key.
Right.
Isn't this the old, it's not what you do, but it's how you do it that's going to make the difference to demonstrate you're serious about a brilliant culture, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think this piece around vision and mission and which is for, like you said, for most people, they start yawning and they think long, boring meetings, right, where we can't agree on it. It's all of that becomes easier if it actually comes from, the vision and mission piece becomes easier, if it comes from an organic place within the culture, right? When you get down to if you really understand your culture in a deep way, even though it's always evolving, right? But you understand it at a moment in time in a deep way, it becomes very clear why you exist. It becomes very clear, you know, generally speaking, what your vision is, even though you might need to fine tune the language or things like that. But it's a completely different way of approaching those things. When companies just decide, you bring in a consultant, revise the mission and vision, it's a very head-based activity, and often gets political, right? Well, no, I think it should be that. No, I think it should be this. So when we come at it from a cultural perspective, which is typically very organic, you're going to get a completely different result. Yeah.
Let's talk about it. If you say in a culture, so what is the most used word in corporate America and the least believed? Integrity everywhere. It's on the walls. They spend millions of dollars getting logos so that you can have gold plated. Let's make the word integrity. And yet there's a disconnect between how people behave, because I want to ask you, what are the tenets of culture? What makes a culture? People think, oh, it's just a word. It's just a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. But isn't it also what actually happens in the workplace?
Absolutely. Culture is evolving day by day, minute by minute, even though we can't necessarily, see that happening, of course, because it's about how what we're thinking and how we're behaving is impacting our results. It's about when we sit at a meeting and we communicate or we make a decision together, what we learn about that, whether that's conscious or unconscious, and then how we move that learning forward. So culture is really about literal human interaction and how that impacts the organization. So if you really distill it down and you watch what happens, right? And that's why you see it get messy when you try to change it, because it's kind of like a family system, right? We think about family systems, family therapy, and that's really challenging. When you go into an organization and you want to help them shift the culture, even though you're using best practices, it's very authentic, there's a lot of integrity, you're transparent and upfront with people, at some point there's going to be a part of the cultural dysfunction that rises up and says, wait, we don't want to change, right? Just like people do. So it's interesting because culture, individual people and all these individual people make up a culture, but the culture itself will often act like a person in terms of how it behaves. It's actually really, really interesting to watch.
What are the mistakes? Let's just get down with a few mistakes. You and I have been, I don't know about you, but I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly, and the what? I did. I mean, I worked.
I did too. I saw one 2 days ago.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. We can't mention any names. But I want to ask you, what's at the top of your, oh my gosh, if you see this happening in your organization, call me.
One thing that strikes me, and this is sometimes unpopular with other folks, is the whole idea of values, cultural values. Now, there are always values in culture, and organizations have values that are either posted on the wall or implicit, right, that everyone sort of knows exists, but they don't really talk about. But I think just talking about, we're going to put forth a set of cultural values, I often find is a waste of time, unless every single one of those values is tied to expected behaviors or behavioral best practices, because a value doesn't matter unless it's in action as behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually, my book that'll come out next spring, Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence is the tentative title. I don't even talk about values in the book, because values just become inherent when you really start to understand how your culture operates, and then you decide what you'd like it to be, how you need it to evolve, and then you decide how to move forward with it. So I would say the over-focus on values is often a mistake.
Yeah.
And really specifically, attached to it. I'm thinking of a client right now, and a new leader came in and is talking all about, we need to be transparent. I'm all for that, but no one in the organization knows what that functionally means. How do I change my behavior to be transparent? Right? That's an example of a mistake. If we're going to be transparent, this is what it looks and sounds like in our organization to be transparent, right? That's what needs to happen. when you're bringing in a new word into an organization that's not part of their culture already. I don't think folks in that organization would resist the transparency. They probably think it's really great, but their culture's not set up to do it. They don't know how to do it, right? That's a mistake. It's really thinking about how you bring in language and ideas, and how do you get people on board with it? How do you explain it, even if it seems really obvious to you? Classic mistake you've already mentioned, with the CEO, CFOs, is the leadership team thinking they understand the culture and they'll be the ones to change it.
Yeah.
That's classic. And they may be the ones to lead the charge and all of that, which is fine. But they're almost always, because there's no one person can see an entire culture, even a leader, they're almost always missing information, which is why I always am working with, people at all levels of an organization and being as inclusive as possible with communication, feedback, and ideas, because I'm then going to get a really good picture of how the culture operates. And the people in the organization are also going to get a much better picture of how the culture operates, which only helps them to have that understanding.
So for when we think about this, and I would love to ask you to take us on a journey, when we come back, to take us on a journey about the Brilliance Manifesto. But before we get to that, what do you make of information that has now come out like, this is so old school, I'm almost embarrassed to like even ask you about it. We're now hearing, revise your vision, right? Mm-hmm. Rip out your technology asbesto, meaning if your people do not have, if you're still using Vista on your computer in the company, something wrong. So they're saying you got to get up the screen, get up to snuff with the technical infrastructure. But here's number three. Recognize your unsung heroes. Why is this even on the list?
Because people are so unappreciated. People are so, not in every culture, of course. There are many cultures that do a great job with it, but so many companies don't. And that actually came up in a call a couple of days ago I was having where someone said, we need the CEO. People are unacknowledged. Like people are, there are people who are being heroes here, right, to get things done. And they're really not acknowledged. And it's, so recognizing our unsung heroes, that even someone who's worked for a company for, I'm thinking of a particular example, for 30 years, a guy in his late 50s, he sitting at a table and saying to me, how about someone just saying, thank you, great job once in a while?
Oh my gosh. I can't wait till we come back to talk about that.
Yeah. I mean remembering we're human beings. Like we have basic needs. They're hardwired into us. They're biological. And acknowledgement is one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I almost got thrown out of Snohomish PUD. I was on a consulting gig at Snohomish PUD redesigning all their systems. I almost got thrown out of there because we were hugging each other. That's a whole nother conversation that probably wouldn't work in today's culture, right?
Probably not.
Let's take a quick
break.
Seattle Seahawks, watch out. Don't be doing that now.
That's right. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in
in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Are you ready to make deep, lasting, transformative changes? Then tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio for Susanna Jameson's hit show, Love, Light, Sound Radio. During her show, Susanna inspires and supports spiritually and health-conscious individuals all over the world to reconnect with their heart, their inner peace, and balance. Love, Light, Sound Radio. Transformation happens here now. For more information, visit SusannaJameson.com.
Do you believe you are meant to live with more joy, but you're just not sure how to get it? What does the phrase, "give me the joy," make you feel? Join me, Lynn Horde, every second and fourth Thursday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, on the Give Me the Joy Show, as I take you on a journey to peel back the layers so you can take back your joy. To find out more about my work as the Joy Coach, including my popular programs, Joy School and Joy at Work, visit lynnhorde.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you. Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley with my special guest today, Dr. Pat Basile, who is interviewing me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, which is such a nice change. It's really fun to be able to share my thoughts. Yeah.
How do people find out about you? Because I know what's going to happen is we're going to kind of roll on here. Yeah. And I just want people to take a look at your work, go to your website. They can look at the Cultural Brilliance model. Congratulations on your book deal, writing a book. I mean, I'm so excited for you. I'm like, Carter's like doing this show and he has no idea how many hours you and I have spent together. And to see it, I rarely get to see people actually delivering their vision and their purpose. It's just, I'm so happy for you.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited. I'm so excited. So my website is culturalbrilliance.com and you can contact me through there. There are great blog posts. There's access to the radio show. It talks about some of the different services I offer organizations that are interested in even exploring cultural work and having an introductory conversation are all there. So in the book, of course, you know, stay tuned on the book, but it will be coming out in April, possibly May of next spring. So, and I know that's going to fly by.
Oh man.
Yeah. It's going to fly by. So yeah, you're right. There's something really magical and incredible about taking your ideas and making them real, you know, and getting to that point. So it's, and knowing you can have an impact in that way.
Yeah.
Which is what you've done too, Dr. Pat, right?
Yeah.
You have all these ideas and you've made them real.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing I want us to talk about, because you and I both have been on the flip side of organizations. And I'm reminded by how I need to up my game, the way I treat the people that are giving so much to what we're creating here. So I'm really looking at that way differently right now. Uh-huh. But the Brilliance Manifesto is something very specific that you designed and developed. And I would love for you to talk about what the tenets are of that. You know, what are the bones that create this manifesto?
I think the bones are really authenticity, right? Understanding, telling the truth about your culture, right? So you know what you have, right? You can't change what you don't understand and do it very well. And then it's really looking at how can you design something different? What's the path forward, right? And it and having that vision for, you know, what we've realized in order for us to be successful is we need a culture that looks like A, B, C, or D, you know. And one of the ways I define brilliant cultures is that they are systems that proactively adapt to change in ways that decrease stress, inspire learning, and promote organizational health. And I put that definition together because what I noticed was that, and there are many people who talk about this as well, is that many organizations were absolutely struggling to keep up with the rapid changes. And I realized that one of the reasons that is because we know as humans, we are not great with change sometimes, right? And so how could you create an organization in which adapting to change was baked into the culture, which is part of what this Brilliance Manifesto is about, that adapting to change in a positive, proactive way was baked into the culture. And then when you do that, you have less stress, which everybody loves that part of it, right? Less stress. Mm-hmm. That part of being able to evolve your culture, to grow as an individual person, to be an innovator in the marketplace, to, you know, fly past your competitors and all of that, is to be able to learn, is to have people be able to say, oh, okay, that didn't work. What did we learn? Let's move forward. It's missing in so many companies. It's a really basic idea. And that when you have all of that in place, you have a much healthier organization. And I define health broadly, which could be growth. It can be revenue. It can be the engagement of people. It can be the integrity, right? It's the whole, all those aspects of health in an organization. And I think the other piece of the manifesto, those are some of the nuts and bolts, but the other piece of it for me is really the belief that businesses, brilliant businesses, businesses with great cultures, businesses with, you know, that have good intentions and good integrity, are businesses that can absolutely help us change our world in positive ways. Mm-hmm. And I think business has so much potential to do that. And we see all these, you know, businesses doing all these creative things in the environment, creative things with people. I mean, we see it all over the place, right? So it's already in motion, but I think there's an opportunity for companies that have gotten stuck, have a hard time, are mired in problems that they can't figure out how to fix, to really ignite their brilliance so they can go out and live their potential as an organization.
Yeah. The thing I mentioned where I said, recognize your unsung heroes. And mm-hmm. we were talking about it during the break. And before the break, what I said was something like, I can't even believe it's on this Forbes list. And you had a comment, and I want to talk about it because it is almost impossible to have cultural brilliance if you're not doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How important is this for people? Because, you know, we kind of got into a mode, I think, in cultures where, you know, you ought to be lucky you got a job. Well, you know what? We're not there anymore. We're not in 2008. We're not in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to change in your culture and the way that you're working with this, right? What mm-hmm. would that be?
In terms of the unsung heroes?
Yeah.
In terms
what would of you yeah. say to yeah. say to CEOs, the people yeah. that participated here? To say, yeah, it's great you all recognize this. Now, let yeah. me tell you what you need to do, like, right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, I love, you know, the idea of the philosophy of Occam's razor, which is this, you know, the simplest solution is usually the best and correct one. and I talk in organizations a lot about that because they tend to overintellectualize and make it complex. I'm like, guys, simple. What's simple here? So really, this to me, who are our unsung heroes, right? Mm-hmm. Identify them. Go meet with them. How would you like to be appreciated? What would make you feel really valued and recognized here, right? And value them and recognize them publicly.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a fairly straightforward process. And often what happens is like, okay, oh, we're going to create this amazing survey and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we'll have this, what, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes it's a simple conversation. You know, something like saying to a leader, saying to an unsung hero, I realize that over the last six months, you have gone above and beyond the call of duty in these five ways. And I'm realizing I have completely been remiss and not acknowledging you. I mean, I feel like you're an unsung hero in the company. We wouldn't be where we are without you. How can I really recognize you? What would make you feel very appreciated for your contributions? And let them answer the question.
Yeah.
You know, versus like, oh, we're going to have a pizza party. We're going to do this or that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever, right?
And you know, I'm always up for a good pizza, though. I just got to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
I know. Well, you know, it's interesting because you may not think it's important, but I know that both Jessica and Carter love chocolate chip cookies. And so, you know, I think people may think, oh, I don't know how to do it. You know, get them a chocolate chip cookie because it does have meaning. Mm-hmm. It does have meaning. But then, you know, the question that comes into mind with culture is, well, if I get too soft, folks are not going to do their job. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That's really important.
Right.
Treating people well, appreciating them, getting them chocolate chip cookies if they love that, whatever the case may be, we do not soften people or stop them from doing their jobs. Actually, research shows we do the opposite. We motivate them. We inspire them. We, you know, when I feel valued and appreciated, when you feel valued and appreciated, most of us want to actually do more, right? We don't sit back on our laurels most of the time. We say, oh, wow, that was great. My boss just came up to me and said it in a great job. And because of that, I now have more confidence, right? So the next project I tackle, I feel like competent and confident to do it. I feel really acknowledged, like I did a great job. And so I don't believe it's soft at all. I have an opposite belief, which is if you are if a leader is not acknowledging their people in some form or fashion that's meaningful to them, I think they actually lack courage. I think they lack courage to do it because to make a human connection with people almost always inspires them to do more and better. Mm. And there's so much research, neuroscience to support that. Yeah, that's how our brains work.
I'm going to save the best for last.
Okay.
Because if you follow along this line, this is why, you know, these, these CEOs that participated in this study need to call you. Need to call you because
Absolutely.
When number five hits the list, well, number four is interesting. It said invest in video and in-person visits to bring people together. Invest in video and in-person visits. Oh my God, is that so old school?
Bringing people together, it's funny. A few years ago, I used to say that a lot to organizations, like just actually, you know, have a Skype call or a Zoom call or whatever with somebody and just get to know them if they worked in different geographic locations. We don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. And so you have time to miscommunicate. Okay. You know, and so it's trending more toward what you're talking about there, where people have started to see the value of let's pull people together, even virtually. And I would go a step further and say, anytime you can fly people across the country or whatever you need to do to get them physically in the same location, it's almost always worth the money because there's nothing that beats an in-person interaction, right? It's just not the same online.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that make up a culture that's not brilliant. And one of the things that I think we would be remiss not talking about is organizational friction. Okay, so there's a name now for it. Reduce your organizational friction. What happened to let's create an organization of collaboration and sharing? I mean, that's not even in the report. It's like we want to reduce organizational friction. And I'm sure you've got a few things to say about that and the Brilliance Manifesto, right? When we come back.
When we come back, yes, yes. I can definitely jump into that without a problem. So let's take a quick break. This is Claudette Rowley, and you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraloos.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Let It Go Radio. The future awaits you. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as host Barbara Scheidegger explores the way to clarity, peace, and how to live a successful life on your terms by turning negative experiences into positive ones. Barbara's curiosity about the human experience drives her both personally and professionally. As a life coach, author, and renowned clinical hypnotherapist, Barbara knows how to move forward in a natural, organic way without side effects. If you want to grow, be sure to tune in to Let It Go Radio. To learn more, visit letitgohypnosis.com.
Tap into the wisdom of animals, angels, and masters with Darcy Pariso on Animal Soul Wisdom Radio. Tune in monthly as Darcy brings insights on how to better understand and deepen our relationships with animals. Working with light and pureness of ancient techniques, Darcy, healer, animal communicator, and medium, is here to guide you through this process and provide inspiration to move forward. For more information about working with Darcy, visit darcypariso.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week?
No!
Don't worry, we've got you covered.
Yahoo!
With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand.
Yes!
Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley with Dr. Pat Basile. Dr. Pat, wow, we have covered, a lot of territory here today.
During the break, we were talking about it before the break. I want to talk about this because I think that there are so many shades of this. You know, organizational conflict, inter and intra, is something that you actually go to school for and you spend a good 6 months studying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have some confusion today about what that means, especially now where organizational bullying comes out. But the thing that I was talking about before the break, and I want to ask you, is a new term I've not heard before. And that is friction, this thing of organizational friction.
Mm-hmm.
And what is your take on that? And what do you think that means? And is there some part of friction that's actually good for cultural brilliance?
Such a great question. I mean, when I hear friction, I have a couple different answers. So friction can simply be, I think, some sort of conflict, right? Literal friction. Things are not jiving the way they need to be. There's a people or process point of tension. There's some friction there. And usually we think we need to get rid of the friction. That's all, you know, human response. Or we are so afraid of handling it, we don't do anything and it gets worse.
Mm.
It's a different perspective on friction, though. Mm. Or friction or any sort of, you know, bottleneck, stuckness, whatever, even a conflict, is that it's a sign, it's a signal from this organizational system itself that something needs to shift. So when I see friction, conflict, bottlenecks, stuff just not working anymore that used to work, I'm looking for, what is this trying to tell us? There's a message here. Because if you look at it that way and you follow that path, like, okay, oh, now, you know, we dig down a couple layers and realize, oh, really? Okay. It's that, you know, this process we've run for a decade no longer is working for X, Y, or Z reasons. And so let's figure out what we need to do to relieve this friction or this tension and move on. So it can also be seen as a real opportunity, I would say.
Yeah. You know, I'm not exactly sure where we are with conflict, with disagreement, but there is one thing that it's important to talk about in the Brilliance Manifesto. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely no place in the workplace for a fear-laden culture. And the reason I say that is I don't believe that some of the discoveries and innovations would have come to the forefront, you know, in our world, you know, through fear. And I'm just not sure of where we stand with that. Clearly, 2006, 8, 7, when the economy was in the condition it was all about fear. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the relationship of fear, culture, and brilliance?
Yeah, I don't think you can. I'm happy to. You cannot have a brilliant culture and a fear-based culture. Those that cannot coexist. They're completely antithetical to each other. And so that doesn't mean that in a brilliant culture, I don't get nervous about a presentation I'm going to make. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So we're still going to be human about it. I don't get really afraid about this or that. But it's within sort of the normal human range, right, of nervousness, anxiety, or a touch of fear about something. But prevalent throughout the culture is not going – it's not going to be a fear-based culture, because in fear-based cultures, people are worried about losing their jobs. They don't speak up usually. Most of those folks don't speak up. They hide their ideas. They don't share them. They don't share their opinions. They're not innovative usually because they're afraid, right, of making a mistake, because innovation requires making mistakes as part of the process. So you're going to have a very usually autocratic, top-down, hierarchical kind of culture if it's based in fear. So it cannot coexist with brilliance.
Mm.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Nope.
I want to ask you this. Many organizations know, just like in the Forbes article, they know they've got to change. They know something has to happen. You know, all these CEOs that were interviewed, they know. But why is it that even with that knowledge, they're very, very skeptical about actually taking action and spending money to get this addressed?
I think it's a number of reasons. They often don't know where to start. They don't know who to hire necessarily. If they're going to hire somebody, they may try to do some things in-house and they may or may not work very well, depending on how they understand their own culture and how it functions.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, sometimes it's the devil you know, right?
Mm.
Is easier than the devil you don't.
Right.
And that may not even be consciously talked about, but it could be sort of in the ether of the culture. And the other piece too is, and this is a common one, whether it's spoken or unspoken that I hear or sense, is what if this makes things worse? What if it blows, we hire a Claudette or whomever you hire, and it blows up? We'd be better off with what we had before, right?
Yeah.
So part of it's just, when I'm working with companies, it's really leading them through a process, guiding them, partnering really, through a process with a lot of saying, okay, this would be expected right now. If so, you know, we might hit resistance here, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what's likely to happen. We can't predict it, of course, but this is what's likely to happen. So I'm really giving folks context along the way and trying to normalize things. None of these processes, like any change, is going to be smooth sailing the entire time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's going to be a bump or two in the road. But those are usually the reasons why people don't move ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, let me just ask this one last question. As you move forward and you're finishing the book, what are you most excited about in bringing cultural brilliance to the world and to organizations?
Thanks for asking that. You know, it is an absolute privilege and honor and thrill to do this work and to bring it into organizations. And when I'm working, running the cultural brilliance system, the process I use. And I see, you know, I see it working, right? And I see that an organization, by the time that, you know, we part ways, they have a culture they really, really like that supports where they're trying to go. Their people have grown and evolved. People there, you know, and usually there are a few folks for whom this is just not a fit and they'll self-select out, you know, things like that happen. But to leave an organization in a much better state because I was able to help is incredibly thrilling. And part of that process and system I work with organizations on includes that the success of the system isn't reliant on me entirely. So by the time I leave, they're equipped. They're fully equipped. They have the tools. They have the knowledge, the awareness to continue it on themselves, right? So it has that aspect of growth and empowerment to it. So those are the things I'm really, really excited about. And I'm also really excited about the book going out into the world and being able to speak about it and really share these messages that I think almost any company can take on and use.
Right.
I created it so it's practical enough that you can take it and use it. Or, you know, I'm always happy to consult, advise, et cetera, mm-hmm. to help out. So,
yeah. Well, tell people how they can contact you as well. And phone number and, you know, start to move and get the Brilliance Manifesto going in the direction it needs to go.
Yeah, so culturalbrilliance.com and the phone number is 781-538-6616. And Dr. Pat, I want to ask, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
oh,
it was great. It was great.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Oh, the honor was mine. Also, and I want to thank everybody who tuned in today to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Please join us the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll see you back here next time.
Awesome.
Awesome.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.